Hello and welcome to The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I'm so excited to share this interview with you today. I got to chat with the absolutely delightful Becky Chalson about her debut novel, Kismet, which is out today. This book is so lovely and so charming, and Becky is just such a sweetheart. We had so much fun chatting, and honestly, I think this is going to be the beach read of the summer. It is such a sweet romance, but it's also about, you know, what happens after the happily ever after, and it's also about family and sisters and so much more. It is fantastic. And I am going to end this intro now so that you can jump right in and listen to my interview with Becky Chalson.
Hi, Becky Chalson. How are you?
Hello. I'm so good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so great. I gotta tell you, I'm a little more than halfway through Kismet right now, and I am in like the juiciest, like all I want to be doing is reading right now. Like I,
that's the best compliment you could ever give someone.
Right. So like good. I've like just found out why there's tension between Amy and Ben, and like, there's something going on with Joe, and like, right. And it's like, I'm like, I'm so sorry, coworkers. I need to just sit and read all day. I can't help
it. I'm in Kismet. My head is in Kismet. That's the best feeling. I love when you're like in a book and it's like, no one, you like walk down the street and you're like, you don't even know what I'm thinking about. Like, you don't even know where my brain is.
My brain is on Fire Island. Like, goodbye.
The best place in the world. I'm jealous. I want to be there. That's so much fun.
It sounds amazing.
Thanks for reading. That means so much.
Oh my gosh, I'm loving it. Tell us a little bit about Kismet.
Yeah, so Kismet is, it's like a women's fiction contemporary romance novel about two twin sisters. They're attending a wedding in the town of Kismet, Fire Island, which is a real town in Fire Island, New York, which is this beach town that's off the coast of Long Island, and you can only get there if you take a ferry. Mm-hmm. And so there's no cars, and it feels like there's no rules because of that, because there's no one driving, and everyone's just sort of walking around and leading into like summer sun. Mm-hmm. And then the book follows Amy, one of the twin sisters. She's our narrator. She's sort of dealing with the drama of a recent like heartbreak in her relationship, as well as the stress of her sister's sort of whirlwind wedding. And then there's a man from her past that throws her into sort of an unexpected love triangle while she's also about to turn 30 and mm-hmm. is just dealing with the stress that comes with that too. I just turned 30 in December, and it was like, oh, I had written the book at like age 27, sort of imagining what it would feel like when I turned 30. And it was the same. It's all the same. It's all the same questions I'm having with my husband. Like, what do we want to do with this next part of our life? And it mm-hmm. feels like this undefined decade in a lot of ways between 30 and 40. Yeah. 20 to 30, I feel like I did, you know, with college, mm-hmm. married my husband, like we got an apartment, and like, okay, like I figured out the job I want to do. And then the rest of it's like, oh my gosh, like it can take so many different routes and it's stressful. Yeah. So I was sort of wanted to explore that. This isn't what you asked me. I'm just talking now.
No, I love it. I love this. Yeah, no, it's, poor Amy is going through it. But in like this really beautiful place, this really amazing place that she has all these amazing ties to, right? Yes. She like grew up going there.
Totally. And I love that. I love finding that balance of having to kind of put on a happy face when things in your life are amazing, but you don't feel that way, which I think a lot of us relate to all often. And so for Amy, she's her sister's maid of honor. They're in this beach town. It's the 4th of July. There's parades and beach volleyball games and all of these like really fun bonfires and like happy occasions, but she's also sort of dealing with this kind of like secret inner turmoil. And I think that is also, you know, something that felt very universal. It was hard to sort of capture because you don't want them to come across as too, you know, whiny or ungrateful. I feel like something we're always sort of put up against with our female narrators, but I mm-hmm. wanted to make sure she sort of lived in that space of you're sad, but also you know you should be happy for your sister. And what does that look like? And how much you can put on display. And so it was fun to do that in a literal sense in Kismet, where her cousins are like partying. There's a pool. There's always people just like drinking, having a great time on vacation. There's a moment where it's like the cousins took vacation days to be here. Like they're living it up no matter what happens. Yeah. And you're like, Which is just so, yeah, I feel like people experience that a lot.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I love that at one point she's like, I am never going to take for granted again just being a wedding guest and like not
Yes,
having any
exactly.
responsibilities. And like, I was in two or three weddings in my 20s and I was like, yeah, no, I will forever just be a wedding guest. Like, just
So funny.
like,
It's obviously such an honor to be asked to be a
oh,
bridesmaid, but at
totally.
the same time, you're like, oh no, like extra stress and rules, and you have this
Yeah.
responsibility. And I was married in September 2019. My husband and I got
Okay.
married. I was the first of my sisters. I'm a quadruplet. We're all four girls. And
Okay.
so, which is why Amy's a twin, and I love sisterhood. And but I was the first. And so it was really fun to sort of do all those firsts of figuring out what it actually looks like to plan a wedding. And of course, that realization that my characters realize too, which is that it's actually a lot more stressful and more complicated. It's really much more like a group work project than it is sort of,
Yes.
rainbows and sunshine. And so I wanted a character who was sort of reflecting on that, and that, it's so magical and amazing, but it's also, it's nowhere near what I think I thought it would be like from my own romantic appeal of books and movies and everything. And so I wanted, yeah, that, but that idea of the bridesmaid, like the tasks that follow. And so where I'm going with this is that two of my sisters are getting married this year. They got engaged last year within 2 weeks of each other. And now we're actually doing their joint bridal shower 3 days before Kismet comes out, which is so fun. And of course, and we always laugh. Everything in our family is like, when it rains, it pours in the best way. There's just four of us, so the chances are
Oh
there's
my
always
gosh.
overlapping schedules. And so, but we're thick in the wedding planning again for my other two sisters, and it's so fun. But you're also like, oh my God, so much to do. Just
It's
this
a
weekend, we were
lot.
home for Easter, and we were stuffing the envelopes, and it's so much fan. We're so lucky to have it. And you do anything for your sister's weddings, but I
Yeah.
don't, I'm not a bridesmaid for any of my friends this year. So I just show up,
You
very
just get
happy
to hang
face.
out, just party.
Yeah, the best.
Yeah, no, my biggest piece of advice for any of my friends who were getting married was what we did is we heavily implied to our families that we were going to elope. And so then when we decided to actually have a wedding, they were like, whatever you want to do, we're on board for
We're just
anything.
so happy it's happening.
We're just so
Wow,
happy
that's
we get to
so
be there. So
smart.
I was like, cool, we're going to have a literary themed wedding and we're going to tell you what colors to wear and we're going
Oh my
And they
God,
were like,
that's
whatever, as long as we can be
amazing.
there. It was great.
Yes, that's magical. A literary themed wedding sounds so fun.
Yes, it was Night Circus meets Alice in Wonderland. So it was all like black and white and red and playing cards and it was
I
fun.
need 1,000 photos. I need
It was really
you're
fun.
emailing it to me when this is over. I need to see it all.
Definitely, definitely will do. So you have real life experience with Fire Island, correct?
Yes, my husband's family has gone. His parents met out there years ago when
Oh.
they were just like post grads. They were renting a share house, which is sort of a Fire Island staple, and they met out there. And then ever since they've never stopped going, and they've owned the same house in Kismet for over 20 years. My husband Zach would go as just like a baby, and it just is like such a magical place because there's so many families like that, but everybody is sort of bringing the kids around, and there's sort of the sense of freedom that the kids have when they're like 10 years old, like walking around and getting ice cream. And it's such a really special place. And I started dating my husband. We went to high school together. We're high school sweethearts. And so I've been going since my like junior, senior year of high school with them and the family. And so it's amazing. And there's a whole like community out there. Like my husband's parents, my in-laws are like the mayors in my eyes. They know everybody, and they've all been going for the same time. And you have these like Fire Island friends who are just the best. And it's so much fun. Like there's always great bands on Saturday nights, and everybody's always like forming these giant beach circles during the day and with all their beach chairs. And it's just, yeah, there's something about it that I always loved going there. And then in COVID, when I started writing the book, I actually had started writing like a thriller at first, which was
Really?
so strange. I
Okay.
think I thought that thrillers, like I've always loved like cults and like darker things. And so, and because I work in like film and TV development, we do a lot of thrillers, like kind of
Sure.
sell well. And it's like, okay, thriller. But I was having like no fun at all writing it. It was like on my Saturdays during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was like, their world is like dark enough. Like when I have my free time and I'm writing, I want to have like a happy place. And so that June 2020 was the first time we went back out to Kismet during the pandemic. It was like late June. And on the ferry over, I started writing like the what is Kismet? It was like the first page basically was just like in my brain. And then all of a sudden I was like, of course, this is the best place for a romance novel. Like it's just there's such a magic to it. And the cocktail, you know, all of it is just so fun. And so then it what followed, it sort of like just flew out of me. The rest of the book
Oh,
was
I
a
love
wild
that.
process. Yeah.
I love that so much. Yeah, I definitely, and I've talked about this before, with, my coworkers and stuff, and we all had kind of similar experiences, but I feel like in those early days of the pandemic, I was reading one of two things. I was either reading horror that was way,
Right.
way, way darker than what I was experiencing in real life,
Totally.
or I was reading romance because I
That's so
needed
funny.
like a
Yeah, you
light.
need an escape. There's something
Totally.
uplifting to it. Yeah, and you want something that takes you away a bit. And it was such an honor to be able to write it during the pandemic. My husband was getting his MBA on Saturdays doing like a Zoom school. And just by chance, it started May 2020. And so we would wake up early on Saturdays together and like move 10 feet into our kitchen. He would go on his computer for school, and I would sit next to him basically and just write my book. And I would joke that I was like
Awesome.
going to Kismet, like just on via Microsoft Word, because it really felt like that. And I think too, it's helpful is because I'd grown up going to the town and hearing so many stories from my husband's family that even though I was quarantining, I was really could be in the town because I've spent so much time there. And so it's a place that I knew really well. And even the flashbacks, like Amy has these in the book, she finds an old diary from when she was in college. And I set her college at UPenn because that's where I went too. And so I was sort of like, I'm contained in my apartment. I don't can't really get out in the world and like do all this research. I might as well like set these in places that have meaning to me and places that I've experienced. And then you can always just go in and give a little flair to it. Like I think the dorm she lives in is the dorm I wanted to live in. So it's escapist for the writer too. It was really fun.
I love that. Well, I feel like every shop in Kismet is going to need to sell this book, like regardless of what they normally sell. Like the ice cream
Rachel?
shop
Yeah.
needs to have this on display.
Yes. Exactly. It's fun. And the town is really like there's so such a sweet community and so welcoming, and they're so excited about the book. And I'm partnering with the Fire Island Film Festival, and there's a Fire Island wine store, and we're having a big party in June there, and we're doing like an event in August at the Dive. So the Out sat in the book and Kismet, the restaurants are called the In and the Out, and that's what they were called for so long. And then of course, just like last summer, the Out changed management and now it's called the Dive. So that's not in the book. In Kismet in my head is set in like 2019. So it's
Yes,
sort of
perfect.
pre-COVID, all that stands. But we're doing an event there with a few two other authors whose books also feature Fire Island, because Fire Island is having such a moment this
That's
spring, summer. It's
amazing.
wonderful. So yeah, the whole community is like very excited. Just makes me feel so like welcomed too. It's so special.
Oh, that gives me like the warm fuzzies. That's so cute.
It's so sweet. Everyone's invited. Everyone come to Fire Island this summer.
Yes,
I'll give you a
yes.
personal tour for you and all
Party
the
at
listeners.
Fire Island.
Anyone wants to
Perfect.
come.
So why did you decide to focus this story on sort of like post happily ever after, right? Like Amy and Ben, they've been married for 5 years. They're in it.
Yes, I love that question. It's sort of everything that I've experienced too. Like my husband Zach and I, we had dated. We've known each other since kindergarten. We always were best friends. We started dating early high school. He broke up with me in the 10th grade, and all my friends were like, who cares? You know, and that's sort of like, who can find a new person? And even then, I was like, no, like I'm gonna marry this man. Like I'll just
Oh,
wait. And I
yeah.
waited, and then we started dating again senior year of high school. And with that resurgence, it was like, okay, this is it. Like we just knew he's also an identical twin, and we're just very
Oh my
similar. And
gosh.
it's just we just knew that like we wanted to be together. And so this is the whole backstory.
I love
We
this.
had both applied early decision to Penn, and then we started dating again. And so then we both got in. We never decided to go to college together. We were literally like, we could have broken up, like we both were going to Penn, and we were like, well, we're going to make this work. And we never broke up again. Like we got, I guess I got married September 2019, but in a lot of ways, I feel like we were married basically like when we were 18 years old, we were operating as if we had a shared bank account. Like I joke that with Amy, like in the book, like Zach always is like, if we break up, like I'm sending you an invoice, like he paid for all of my things. Since I was like a teenager, it's so crazy. But because of that, I feel like my most of our relationship has been in this like ever after side of things, where it's the work of, you know, the falling in love part is what's so fun and so easy, and the flirt and the romance, like that kind of fall is what's mad. It has like a power to it, but the after is what's actually hard work, which is meeting potential partners and kind of actively saying like, no, like that's not the path I want to go on. Like I'm sticking to what I have. I'm sticking to the hand I have. Like I'm naturally very risk averse. I'm not surprised. I have very long-term relationships in my life between my husband and my sisters. Yeah. But I just thought there was something sort of interesting and something I could really explore and speak to, which was just that happens when you kind of meet your soulmate at a young age and you're making very mature decisions, but you know, just in college, and we had a lot of big conversations and kind of growing pains, but we also laugh because we look back and it's like we've changed so much, and we have really like grown up together and grown up together. Like we look a lot better than we did, and we look at our prom pictures and it's like, oh my god, it's so funny. But I love that when you can kind of see the ways that you grow together between Zach and then also with my sisters, who, because we all went to the same high school, I've also been best friends with Zach and his twin brother our whole life. And so there's sort of a special language that we have. And I just thought it would be fun to read a book about a woman who also has to sort of trust the relationships that she's built. And I think when we have moments of crisis or things don't go according to plan, I know I sort of doubt everything. And I'm like, well, did everything I ever do, like all of it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think it was interesting to put Amy in that moment where there's this one big crisis and now she is doubting everything, but what ultimately save her is all of the relationships and the foundations that she spent the last 30 years building. And sometimes you just need people to kind of catch you, and it's the trust that they will catch you. And but you can't tell, because it was very cathartic to write for me. It's very sort of, the plot beats are fictional, but a lot of the premises came from reality, because I, again, I was writing COVID and write what you know, they say, and this is my first time ever writing anything. Like I've always worked in film development, but I've never taken like a writing class. And so I was sort of trying to make it easy on myself too, as just a writer, to see if I could finish the draft. And so I had a lot of fun sort of playing around and again, like escaping, if we will, and figuring out sort of what might happen to someone like me if I was in the situation, and what you can, and it ultimately comes down to that lesson of, you know, letting the people that you count on be counted, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I love that she does that thing where she's like in her own head and she's like, well, I can't burden, you know, my sister with this. Like it's her wedding week. And like, I can't talk to my husband about this. Like it's too much. I just need to be by myself. And it's like, Amy, girl, just talk to someone.
I know.
They want to be there for you. They're worried about you.
And we laugh because I think people have a lot of different like methods of what happens when they get stressed. And like my stress language is so inner. Like I don't talk to anybody, and you, and it, I've read all these interesting articles on it where it is, and your partners sort of know when to give you space or when not to, but I get, it's sort of my like anxiety inside of me is like, all right, well, I don't need anybody. I can focus on this. I can do this myself. And it's that, I think, lesson that we all have to learn time and time again is like, no, like the people in your life will be there for you. You have to trust that too. And so, oh yes, poor Amy. It's a real lesson back for her on that, which I think is apt too, especially, you know, turning 30 and just these big reminders that, like your people will be there, but it's hard. Oh, Amy.
Oh, Amy.
I can't wait for you to finish the rest of it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So fun.
It's going to be the whole rest of my day. I'm just going to be like, everyone shush. I need to check in on Amy.
Poor Amy.
I love her. I also love, this was so off topic, but I cackled out loud where there's just this one line where she's talking about, I think she's talking about either Ben or Emmett just like never zipping his backpack. And I laughed so hard because my husband never zips his backpack all the way up.
No way.
Like it's always so just charming. Open a little bit at the top. And I'm like, what are you doing? Just
funny.
Flip it. What's happening?
I love that. So funny. Those are like, for me, the qualities that I can't help but admire in other people, because I am so type A to the point of like not being fun sometimes because I'm so controlling that I'm like, how can you just go about the world with like messy glasses and like your unpacked backpack? And like, I envy it and admire it because I don't have that quality. And he's like, and I always like, just, I've always been fascinated with how people act and why we do what we do. And I just want to get, like, jump into people's brains sometimes. And that was like going to Penn. I just met so many really brilliant people who are so different from me. And I always was like, I just want to know how your brain works. Like, how are you so like confident, but also like uncaring in the coolest way that like your back, you don't care what happens to your backpack. Like, I know where all my things are at all times. I've never lost an item in my life because I am not cool enough to. What does that say about me? I don't know.
I mean, I literally, so like you had, you know, Kismet growing up. I have Disney. Like, I grew up in a Disney family, and our most recent trip, we just got back and I planned the whole trip. It was a surprise for my daughters, but I told my husband, I was like, okay, but I want it to be a surprise for you too. So you're only going to know the dates. And so like, I planned like to the T every little thing. It was like, he didn't know where we were staying. He didn't know what our reservations were. And like every morning I would hand him a laminated itinerary.
Yes. That's so good.
So like, I feel you with the like type A control, like,
yeah.
And I told him, I was like, you can never do this for me. Like, I could not.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I agree. I can't be received.
Mm-mm. It's like, I will do it. You can't do it.
Yeah, I agree. It's totally the way I plan. All my itineraries are like psychotically planned. Just, that's the most fun. You want to make sure, you know, I have fun in maximizing the day.
Yes.
Making sure I know everything I want to do is getting done. Yeah. There's that funny thing, like TikTok sound.
Give me a checklist.
Like, go with the flow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with the flow, but like, when does the flow start? Like, that's what I want to know.
I will schedule in flow time.
Yeah, I just have to schedule it.
100%. Amazing. What's next for you? What are you going to write some more? Are you doing some more?
I am. I'm writing a second book. It's like a return to Fire Island, a different characters, but in a different town. There's 17 towns in Fire Island, have very distinct personalities. And so there's this one town, Ocean Beach, which is where I went with my friends when we were 25, when we rented a house for the summer, and it was just amazing and so chaotic in the best way. And so that's sort of the premise for the second book. But I'm still, you know, I'm working full time still in the film TV development job that I have at a production company, which I love. And then, this year it's like Kismet comes out, and then two of my sisters are getting married. So I'm back to bridesmaid duty. Mm-hmm. I'm not the maid of honor for either. Fun fact, we pulled names out of a hat to figure out who we would be maid of honor for when I got engaged. And so I pulled my sister Joanna, who Amy and Joe, another. The names in the book are very intentional. Amy and Jo are two of the four Little Women sisters.
Yes.
Jo is my sister Joanna, but my other two sisters, who are the brides this year, are Maggie and Liz. Okay. And those are also Little Women names, like Meg and Beth, it's Elizabeth and Margaret. Aww. And because my parents, when they found out they were having quadruplets, they were told they were having two boys and two girls. And so they only had two girls' names picked out. It was Rebecca for Rebecca Sunnybrook Farms, which is a funny omen because I turned out to like be the biggest reader of all of us, named after a book. And then my sister Margaret, which is a family name. But then we were born and there was four girls, big shocker. And as my mom was sort of like recovering from the pregnancy, they were trying to figure out two more names. They didn't realize until months later that Elizabeth and Joanna, the names they added, were 3/4 of Little Women, and I was the only one left out. And
I've used
that. So Amy is what my name should have been. Of course, I hate the name Becky. I hate the name Rebecca. For me, it just never felt like me. I always felt like I would have been a great Amy.
Oh,
and so when I started writing, I was like, her name's going to be Amy because what I should have been called.
Vindicated.
But I do think, I was talking to somebody once, and they think that there's so much power in a name story. And they were like, that's why I've always wanted to be different from my sisters. I love being a quadruplet. I love my sisters, but I always was the one who like didn't want to match, or I moved to LA when we graduated instead of going back to New York. Like, I always wanted to do something different. Mm-hmm. And they were like, that's because like your name is the different one.
Yep.
Like, oh my God, like you just read me back to myself. Like crazy. But that's why there's
it's
very special. So book two, hopefully it will feature Maggie and Liz. We'll get
I
their
love that.
Book moments as my sisters.
That is
we
so
love fairness.
Cool. I love
so
that.
Fun.
That's so much fun. Oh my gosh. And then the last question I always love to ask is, have you read anything recently that you want to shout out?
Yes, I just finished reading over the weekend, Who We Are Now by Lauren Chamberlain. It's her second book, also from Sutton Books, who's publishing Kismet. We share an editor, and it's her second book. Her first book was called Friends from Home, and I just loved it. And the second book follows four friends over the course of a decade of their lives. And it's just beautiful. And she's a really exceptional writer. I would love to put her on listeners' radar.
That.
So check out Lauren's book.
Absolutely. I'll link to that in the show notes.
Love it.
Awesome. Well, Becky, congratulations on Kismet. This book is so charming. And I am, like I said, I am so deep in it and I can't wait to finish it.
I'm so excited for you. Thank you so much for reading and for having me on. This is so lovely.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And best of luck with the launch and everything and
awesome.
All of the fun this year. All of the
so
launch parties and the weddings.
So many outfits to plan. I love it.
Incredible.
Yay. Well, thank you so, so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, such an honor.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Have
we'll
a great
talk
day.
Soon. Have a good one.
Bye.
Huge thanks again to Becky Chalson. Kismet is available now from Gibson's Bookstore. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. For a shoppable list of the books we discussed in this episode, you can click the link in our show notes or go to gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and all of those links will be in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye!